Danny. Jeremiah, would you run to my office right quick? And if you would, there's an envelope for Brother Ronnie Vakulik. Would you get that envelope for him? It's Sunday school reorder information. You'll get it. Brother Ronnie will get it. He'll meet you in the middle. There you go. Amen. Good to see every one of you tonight. Looks like we're a little down. We only canceled Sunday night service, not Wednesday night service, too. Amen? So you need to remind one another that we're still having church on Wednesday night. Well, what about the summer? We'll still be here on Wednesday night. Amen? Still be here midweek, Bible time, midweek, worship God time, midweek, man. Get through the week time. Amen? Get through it with the Lord. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 41. We crack chapter 41 tonight. We will read the first 13 verses. We've just come out of a very short chapter, chapter 40. And we go into a very long chapter, chapter 41. A lot in here, but I would say most of this is very familiar to all of us. If we've been to vacation Bible school or taught vacation Bible school, if we've been in Sunday school for any length of time, been in the church for any length of time, been regular in church for any length of time, we've probably been through this or the story, or we kind of know what's going on here. So let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, Genesis chapter 41, beginning in verse 1 in the King James Version. Here we go, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of how many? 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, that would be cows, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine, cows, came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And here rank is a good thing, not a bad thing, right? I think we use the term rank in a derogatory sense or in a negative sense, right? Yeah, rank is good here, okay? In the King James Version, interpreting this Hebrew in the Old Testament. Came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Verse 9, then spake the chief butler. Boy, it's about time he got involved. Amen? Well, we've been waiting on this guy for 2 years to say something to Pharaoh. He's finally let the cat out of the bag. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. Each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Yeah, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, we thank you for just the opportunity to be in your holy and errant word tonight. We thank you for the gift that it is to us, and how you lead us, you guide us, how you speak to us from it and through it and with it. And Lord, how you want to make us more to the image of Christ as we gather together and, Lord, hold each other accountable to it and just praise you in it and read from it. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us bring to recollection the Word of God the rest of this week when we're squeezed, when we're in situations that we need you. Lord, may your Word of God come to our mind. Perhaps not this passage, but other passages that we've studied or read or been into, Lord. May you help us with your word, and may we praise you with your word. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said? All right. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Now, basically, we're going into a mini-series of messages in chapter 41 that are in a series of messages in the book of Genesis. Amen? Right? And is the gospel contained in the book of Genesis? Is the gospel in there? Where is the first mention of the gospel in the book of Genesis? The first mention of it. It's early on in the book. All right. What chapter in the beginning, Brother Roger? There's an address to it. It's a good one to know. Right? Those of you that have a New American Standard Version or an NIV, it's a little bit clearer in those versions than it is in the King James Version English. 3:15, the man in the back wins the prize. That is correct, brother. That is correct. Did you guys see that pile of food when you walked in the door? Amen, for the food pantry? Y'all give the Lord a hand for that. Amen? That is great. We had an angel bless us and brought all that food and dropped it off. And my. You have not because you ask not, right? You've got to ask. Them angels will show up. An angel delivered out there, I tell you. Cup runneth over. Amen. All right. Genesis 3:15. Somebody read it in an NASB or NIV. Anybody got that? Children's Version, let's hear it. Yeah. Bite his heel. That's about all the cross was to God. Bite his heel. And then what does God do through Jesus? Crush his head. Crush his head. Sin is vanquished. Death is defeated. The path to hell is escaped. Amen? That's the first mention of the gospel in the book of Genesis. Amen? How many books the books of Moses, how many of them are there? Five. First five books of the Old Testament, right? Amen. How many books in the Old Testament? 39. How many in the New? 27. And we've got the gospel that runs throughout all 66 books, all right? Very good. So as we begin chapter 41 tonight, it's a mini-series within the series, and what we're talking about, what I hope we can grasp in the next couple of weeks is that, yes, it's great that Joseph has gotten out of prison. He didn't want to be there, and he gets out. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. But what you need to get as we go through this chapter is that Joseph is God's instrument. God's instrument. See, sometimes we want to boo-hoo, cry, and whine, and carry on because of our circumstance or situation. What we fail to forget, what we need to remember, what we got to come to terms with, friend, you're doing somebody else's bidding if you're a Christian. You're doing somebody else's work. Hey, welcome to the party. You're an instrument, right? You're one of the tools in the toolbox, and when he needs you, he'll get you. Amen? And he'll use you the way he... And if, put you up dirty, don't worry. He's going to clean you up one day. Amen? He's going to get you all cleaned up. Don't worry about all that. So as we look at Joseph as God's instrument, this is the first installment. It is very easy to misunderstand Genesis chapter 41 by superimposing the false conception of success on the experience of Joseph when he was exalted to the second highest position in all of Egypt. He's out of prison. But he's still in a foreign land. He's not back home with his family, right? This guy is a duck still out of water, right? So let's don't get too wound up about all that. We may look at the dreams of Pharaoh and the mention of Joseph by the butler as the providential break. Finally, the providential break of the sovereign, God's fate would have it, the providential break of Joseph's life, which broke the chain of frustrating turns of events which had previously plagued this dear brother. He's been doing the right thing, and he's been getting the crummy sandwich his whole life. He finally catches a break. Amen? He finally gets one. Genesis chapter 41 does not tell us the entire story. Now, it's a long chapter, but it doesn't give us all the details. The chapter merely provides us, it's kind of a bridge, it provides us with a vantage point whereby we may look back upon past events, okay, and see their part in bringing Joseph to Pharaoh's palace, okay, Pharaoh's palace. We may also look ahead and see the reason why God brought Joseph to his position of power in the way he did, right? Joseph is just an instrument. Now, let me ask you the question. Was Joseph's life story a fairy tale? Absolutely not. Moses did not tell us that after Joseph was promoted by Pharaoh that he lived, then he lived happily ever after, right? Oh no, he's still got challenges. He's still got work to do. He's still got a lot on his plate. Joseph has been promoted for a definite purpose. You have been saved by God for a definite purpose. You've been placed in this church for a definite purpose. Amen? I hope you understand that, can grasp that, love that. You've come to grips with that. Amen? We need not overlook the point of this chapter by being blinded by the fact of seeing him taken out of the pit, taken out of the dungeon and placed in a position of power and prestige in Pharaoh's palace. Well, what happens, Pastor, when we do the right thing continually and we still get the crummy sandwich? What happens when our second-in-command ship never comes in? What happens when we don't get Pharaoh's signet ring and we don't get the finest clothes and we don't get the nicest chariot in the land because that's Pharaoh's, but we get one that's really close? What happens when we continually do the right thing and it doesn't pan out the way we think? Isn't doing the right thing worth it? Isn't it? I mean, isn't doing what's right enough? Because doing what's right brings who? Glory and honor. Brings God glory and honor. Amen? It glorifies and honors His name when we do what's right, when we do the right thing, when we obey the Word of God, when we're submissive to the Spirit, when we sacrifice in the name of the Lord. Doing the right thing, amen? Just do the right thing, right? As we look at this tonight, these first 13 verses are about Pharaoh's revelation and Joseph's release. Now, as we read in the passage, two full years had passed and Joseph is still confined in Potiphar's prison. Other passages call it a dungeon. Forgotten by the butler of the Pharaoh, despite Joseph's favorable interpretation. You're going to get your job back. It's going to be great. And when you get back in there, let somebody know I'm here falsely accused. Right? Stolen from my homeland, chunked down in a hole. And here I've ended up, and please help. Because, I mean, you're getting the bonus round. You're going back to Pharaoh's house, right? But he didn't remember, does he? No, he doesn't remember. Two things I want to share with you about Pharaoh's revelation and Joseph's release. Number one, God can choose whatever means He may desire to speak with us. To speak with us. Now, He may use... Never happened to me personally, but I'm not counting it out. Balaam's donkey could have that kind of conversation if God so chooses to do that. Amen? A dog, a cat could sit up and give me some truth. Now, hey, the test of the truth would be, does it jive with that word? If it jives with that word, then I'm not hallucinating so much, right? That might really be the truth coming out of that dog or cat. You ever had a dog or cat talk to you in a... Okay, well, I just had... You've seen a lot more dogs and cats than I have. Amen? All right. But if God chose to do that, who's to say, you know, He can't do that. He's God. Amen? Now, what are the ways that God mostly speaks to us? Well, His Word. Amen? Also, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we're speaking to Him, and you're saying, Pastor, He can speak to us through prayer? Absolutely. Amen? If there's never a time in your prayer life when you're still and quiet, if you're just always going to God with your grocery list or your complaint list or your help me out list, well, that's fine. He's God. You can do that. Amen. But you never get to a point where you just praise Him and then you just sit back and are still and quiet. People don't do that anymore. Still and quiet? What do you mean? Man, I've got a phone I've got to push. I've got a car I've got to drive. I've got a job I've got to get to, right? I got responsibilities. Friends, sometimes we just need to be quiet and still and know that He's who? Know that He's God. Amen? Just know that He's God. So sometimes in our prayer time, God can speak to us. I think God speaks to us through our inner man. If you're a woman, through your inner woman, right? Through the Holy Spirit, God speaks to us. Gives us nudgings, gives us directions, gives us a feeling, a discernment. Well, Pastor, are you sure? Yeah, hey, the bottom line is, whatever He's leading you, directing you, whatever you think He's telling you to do, it ought to jive with God's Word. If it doesn't jive with God's Word, that's too many onions on the burger, right? That's some indigestion is what's going on. That ain't God. But if it's jiving with God's Word, it's a good chance God's nudging you, amen, in that direction. But by far, I think the main way He speaks to us is through His Bible, amen? 66 books. Written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, translated in your English vernacular, in so many different translations, King James Version, New King James, New American Standard Version. Golly, I mean, they're just all over. The NIV, not my favorite. The old NIV was, not the new NIV. Then you've got Contemporary English Version. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Committee translations. Paraphrase translations. Be careful with the paraphrase. That's only one guy's opinion. Committee translation, there's 30 to 70 people that have argued extensively and debated on what each of these little phrases and words mean, and they've come together with a comprehensive translation, right? God has spoken through His Word. And I think that's the main way. But God can choose. The point is, God can choose whatever means He may desire to speak with us. Sometimes godly people, He speaks to us. Sometimes ungodly people. Has that ever happened to you? Ungodly people, and that's almost like Balaam's donkey, amen? Ungodly people speaking God's truth to you. That's when you scratch your head and say, I cannot get away from God. I can run, but I cannot hide. God has my address. He knows where I'm at, and what He wants, He's going to get eventually, amen? Amen. God speaks to Pharaoh in two dramatic dreams. Both dreams were very real. Both dreams for Pharaoh were most disturbing. After each dream, Pharaoh is awakened, adding to the drama of it. Amen? These dreams were remarkably Egyptian, for the kine, or the cows, came from out of the river Nile, and the grain, or the corn, was withered by a well-known and dreaded east wind. The sight of cows cooling themselves in the river and feeding on the lush marsh grass was typically Egyptian. That is a typical Egyptian image. The dreams were distressing to the Pharaoh because they were twice experienced in varying forms, interrupted by his being awakened. The meaning was a puzzle, for the seven lean cows remained lean and gaunt even after consuming the fat cattle. The same was true with the corn. Cannibalistic cows and cannibalistic corn were not normal. Have you ever seen a cow eat a cow or an ear of corn eat another ear of corn? I've never seen it. Amen? That's not a normal occurrence. I guess you can dream it. He certainly dreamed it here, but it ain't normal. But what is normal is when something lean eats something fat, it becomes what? Puts on some weight. But these skinny cows didn't put on an ounce, and neither did the skinny corn, right? Something had to be wrong. What was the problem, church? Amen? Second thing I want to share with you about this first 13 verses as we look at it tonight, Pharaoh's revelation and Joseph's release, the second thing I want to share with you is that God and the things of God can only be grasped through His Spirit. Can only be grasped through His Spirit. Now, you notice in the book of Genesis, the day of Pentecost has not come yet, has it? No, the day of Pentecost is way off, right? But God's Spirit is here. God's Spirit is on who? Joseph, right? He has this ability to do what? He's got this gift to interpret. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, a familiar passage to many of us, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the Pharaohs thought they were gods, and they were worshipped as such, as gods, but he ain't no God, because he doesn't know what the real, true Jehovah God is trying to say to him. Amen? He needs somebody that believes in God, a despised Hebrew. His people hate the shepherd boys, the Hebrews. They run around with them sheep. They herd animals. They're disgustingly gross. But yet that's going to be the instrument. That's going to be the instrument that's going to tell Pharaoh what the dream means. Right? The king's usual source of information, the magicians, were totally baffled, as was Pharaoh. They could not fathom the meaning of the dream. Now, don't confuse these magicians. We think magician, we think of a tuxedo, we think of tails, we think of a top hat, we think of somebody going to pull a rabbit out of a hat. We think of a guy that's got that real strange stare and he does his hands all this away. Amen. How many of you have been on a cruise? Got a few cruisers? Did they have a magician on your cruise? Yeah, they had a magician on the cruise we went on. We were not impressed. Amen. Not really impressed. We were sitting, I guess, too close. We were not getting the aura. We were not getting the magical vibe of what he was trying to put off, right? Don't be confused with those guys. These magicians that are spoken of here in Genesis 41 were the wisest, they were the best educated men of Pharaoh's kingdom. They were schooled, specifically schooled in the art of interpreting dreams. The magician's inability to interpret these dreams stemmed from the fact that the dreams were a revelation from God. And they did not know Him. They did not know God. So the king's frustration at having such impressive dreams. I mean, it was a double feature dream. I mean, it was a double feature deal. Impressive dreams, having them, and yet being unable to know their meaning was too similar. It was too canny of an experience for the butler to keep his mouth shut any longer. And so the butler finally just spills the beans, doesn't he? Joseph was finally brought to the butler's mind, and Pharaoh was told of the unusual Hebrew slave with whom this official had spent time with in Potiphar's prison, man. But I want you to see something. Nowhere does the butler mention the injustice of Joseph's imprisonment. The offenses of which he spoke, the butler spoke of in verse 9, do not seem to be related to his forgetting Joseph, but rather to his sins against Pharaoh, for which he was cast into prison under Joseph's custody. The substance of the butler's words to his master was that this young Hebrew slave was highly skilled in interpreting dreams. No mention of his character, no mention of his religious faith was made. Joseph's release and the matter of making right the wrongs committed against him were of no interest to the butler whatsoever, at least as far as his own words inform us. Now, I want to leave it on the butler, right? Because the butler reminds me of so much of our culture today. Reminds me so much of the lukewarm, pseudo church member Christian deist. I believe in God, but probably don't have a relationship with God. So many times, how often do people approach the living God, the God that they are to be worshiping on a daily basis, yet they don't. But how often do they approach God? Or perhaps you have seen others approach God with what I would call a disposable, fast food type attitude or mentality. In other words, I kind of give you the flavor of what I'm talking about. Oh, God, I need you right now. Right here, God. Oh, man, I'm in a fix. I'm in a pickle. I'm in a problem. I need a word from you. I don't really know what that means, but I need one. Amen? I need a word from you. I need a direction to go. I need deliverance from something, right? Whatever that something may be. And when God delivers, they drop God. They just drop Him. Until when? Until the next crisis. Yeah, until the next crisis. Until the next problem, right? Until the next shortfall. Until the next tragedy. Until the next pain. Whatever might come along that we think God might help us with. Right? Always, God, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? And hey, let me tell you something. Christians, God wants to do things for you. Amen? God wants to bless you. God wants to touch you and all those things. But it kind of goes with you being in relationship with God. You worshiping God on a daily basis. You allowing God through Jesus and the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to be Lord of your life, right? And not just put on the Christian outfit and the Christian face and the Christian attitude for a couple hours a week and live like the world the rest of the time. But boy, man, when you get in a pickle, God, you know, I participate. You know, I put in a few hours here and now. I really need your help here, God. Right? And heaven forbid, if God not come through for those people. I mean, boy, then they get their attitude all jacked up and all out of whack and their face all contorted and, man, they just get all upset. All we've done for you, God. Well, that's really the wrong attitude to take, isn't it? All we've done for you, God. Right? I don't think any of us has put our sons or daughters on a cross to die for somebody, have we? No. Praise Him for all He's done with us. Amen. Well, we're going to leave it right there. Don't be the butler. Amen. Be the willing instrument like Joseph. And praise God we're all here tonight. We didn't end up like the baker. Amen. We didn't end up like the baker. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into our prayer time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for Your study as we continue on, Lord, these first 13 verses. Be with us as we go through the rest of this large chapter in Genesis 41, as we talk about being Your instrument, as we talk about being having a purpose for us. Thank You for the purpose. Thank You that You've breathed life into us, that You put us down here in the midst of all that's going on during this time of the history of the world. Thank You for the gifts and abilities You've given to us, Lord. Thank You for even the challenges, the problems and the pains that we have. We know with the right attitude, with the right approach, that Lord, even the negative things, the difficult things, can bring You glory and honor, can bring You praise, can be a testimony to others. Lord, help us navigate this old life that we find ourselves in. Help us lean upon You. Help us be right there in the middle of Your Word and following You in prayer. And Lord, thank You for loving us and saving us and keeping us for all eternity. Be with us as we go into this time of prayer. May You speak through Your people. May we be Your vessel tonight. In Your name we pray. Everyone said, amen. All right.